This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Picture this. You wake up Sunday morning. You're a little hungover. You went out, got drunk by yourself at a bar. You've just been feeling down lately. You can't really quite explain it. Just nothing makes you happy. You just feel like so cynical about everything. The world disappoints you constantly. You get out your phone. You're going to check the weather. Just a typical February day here in Maricopa County. You're going to... What do you got planned for the day? You gotta mow the lawn. You gotta go to the grocery store. Oh, that's right. You agreed to make guacamole for the Super Bowl party tonight. Ugh, fucking Super Bowl. You don't want to go watch the Super Bowl. Not this Super Bowl. 49ers. Chiefs. Oh, God. Fucking give me a break. I can't stand it. I don't want to watch either of these teams lose. I fucking hate both of these teams. These teams, garbage. And then, bzzz, you see an electrical spark in the air. Bzzz, a bunch of electrical sparks. And then a portal opens up. And you see a silhouette walking towards the portal. And then it gets closer and closer. And finally, it steps out and it's you? Hello, it is me, you, from the future. I come to you from November 15th, 2024. This cynicism, it has to go. This indifference, it makes a huge difference later on in the year. In just 9 months' time, Donald Trump will be reelected president. You, here in Maricopa County, are the deciding vote. And it all leads back to this point. This Super Bowl, there was a clear right and wrong answer on who to cheer for. And you just said, I'm going to sit it out. This mindset carries you all the way to November, and you sit out the election. You are the deciding vote. And it's all your fault. I need you to get invested. I need you to cheer for the Chiefs. Can you do it?
Hey, neighbor, who are you talking to out there?
I'm talking to me. I mean, my cousin from the Netherlands. He's visiting. Get down.
Oh, the Netherlands, huh? I love that place.
If my fucking crazy neighbor sees you, he'll fucking kill you.
I hate the people. It's on site for me with anyone from the Netherlands. Let me see him.
Right, of course.
Hey, who are you pulling for this weekend?
No one. I mean, no one. I can't. Fucking the 49ers, Bosa, duh. And the Chiefs, God, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes. I hate those guys.
Yeah, I'm pulling for Niners. I love Bosa.
Oh yeah. Hey, by the way, your Trump flag, it keeps whipping up against my window at night. It's so huge. It's keeping me up.
Yeah, it'll do that.
Yeah. Do you think you could maybe
triple
get a
XL that bad boy?
Yeah, yeah. Do you think you'd get maybe a smaller one or just maybe only...
Fuck you!
Of course. Sorry, maybe... I was just thinking maybe you don't fly it at night. Is it disrespectful to fly the flag at night? I don't know.
What's next? I'm supposed to take it down when he's not president for 4 years?
I guess it's not weird to have the former president's flag raised. Anyhow.
Hey, neighbors, what y'all talking about?
Talking about his Trump flag again.
Yo, that thing is whipping. What's that, a 3XL?
3XL, see? This guy gets it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like it, but I'm not totally against it.
Hey, so you guys, you're cheering for the 49ers. Hey, girl, who are you cheering for tonight?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I hate indifference. I'm rooting for the Chiefs.
Yeah?
Yeah, because usually when I bet on a team, they lose. So I'm putting up big bread on the Chiefs.
But in your lizard brain, you want the Niners to win, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so and if you weren't betting, who would you be, if it had nothing to do with gambling, just your heart, if you had just had to pick a team to cheer for?
Oof. Probably stab myself in the heart with some adrenaline, like...
Like Pulp Fiction?
Like Pulp Fiction, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
I like parts of that movie. I like the gun shop guys.
Those guys?
Yeah,
they are you sure you
cool.
like those guys? Have you seen the whole movie?
Well, I like what they do upstairs. I like what they do above ground. When they go down in the ground, I don't know. They lose me a little bit down there.
Oh, okay. You pull your future you up. You can't be seen. If they see a person from the future, they'll fucking go nuts. Look, everyone around me seems to really be cheering for the 49ers. Why the Chiefs? Why? Because the Chiefs, look at who hates them. Sometimes it's not about who likes them, it's about who hates them. Everyone hates the Chiefs right now, especially right-wing media. They're going nuts. Is that who you want to align yourself with? Even by being indifferent, is that not, is complacency, is that not an endorsement in itself? You need
to cheer for the Chiefs. Wait a second. Carl.
Yeah.
Look at this guy he's talking to. Does that guy look Dutch to you, or does he look like he's from the fucking future?
Let's see. He's really tall, but he's got tiny feet.
Oh, no.
He's wearing all aluminum foil. Looks Dutch to me.
That's a Dutch motherfucker. He's a dead man.
Let's me and you come together like Carl Weathers, rest in peace, and Arnold Schwarzenegger in that movie. Dap up to kill
Big
this guy.
Big handshake. Yeah. Time to kill the Dutchman.
You tell your future self to go back to the portal. Otherwise, you're going to die. I'm not leaving here. The future is even worse and more grim. I'd rather die here in February before the Chiefs lose the Super Bowl and everything goes to hell. This is a kinder world. This is a world where you still have a choice, because today is You Have a Choice Day.
Wow.
You have a choice, everyone.
Sheriff Joe in Maricopa County.
I immediately had to Google what Maricopa County was, because I was like, I feel like I'm missing something.
Why did you choose Maricopa County?
Isn't that the really contested county?
It's like the suburbs of Phoenix.
Yeah, I think it's like a tightly contested one. There's a lot of shenanigans there, I think.
My character was snacking, but then realized me at a certain point it just became me snacking for real. So.
What are you eating?
Sorry about that happening in the mic.
It felt like a character choice.
But I'm still doing it. Yeah, here we are. Some sort of like Spanish cocktail nuts.
Got a little zip to them? Spice?
Nah, not really. And I do love to say that. My wife's making a little list of all my white people sayings, and one of the big ones is got a little bit of kick to it. I catch myself doing it all the time. Like, oh, you know, soup's got a little bit of a kick to it.
news flash, buddy. Is that on the list?
No, I don't say newsflash, buddy. No.
I tell you what you do say. You say, nah, I'm not going to make it. You guys have a good time.
Bear, are you kidding? I saw you out real late the other night, man.
You did. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, this guy supports his wife, but he don't come kick it with his friends.
Classic cuck. Classic Hollywood.
Hollywood beta cuck.
That's me, baby.
Oh, man.
Well, it is Super Bowl week.
It's Super Bowl week. I just got a refund from StockX because a pair of shoes didn't come. They're not gonna.
That's bullshit.
It is. And that's what we're talking about this week. Things that let us down. Because we got nothing to talk about.
Oh, nothing happened. This is all a looking forward week. Did anyone watch the Pro Bowl shit? Did that happen? I don't even know.
I saw clips from the some of the skills challenge. Dan Orlovsky beat all the other quarterbacks, all the other Pro Bowl quarterbacks in the precision passing challenge. He beat Tua, C.J. Stroud, everyone. Dan Orlovsky won the QB precision challenge, which is pretty nuts.
I gotta say this for Dan Orlovsky.
Why was he
against
he's just fucking around.
All odds? He's made himself relevant. Like, he had one of the worst career. Like, name any detail of his career except that he played for the hapless Lions and that he famously ran out of the back of the end.
I mean, that's
like,
it. That's all, the moment
to cobble that. I guess he went to, where did he go? He went to like UConn or Yale or UMass or some shit. Like, he probably had connections to like the Bristol of it all going in, but like, how did he turn that into
a stellar broadcasting career?
Like being one of the guys who's at the top of football broadcasting to the point where they're like, yeah, let Orlovsky go in for the passing contest.
Yeah, he's got takes.
He's probably, is he even 40?
He steers.
Speaking of Maricopa County, he's a big Trump guy. What did he get Orlovsky? In arguments? Yeah. What did he get into arguments with, like, Stephen A and those guys every day during the election? And I was just like, what has sports media become? Why are we talking about this?
Is Stephen A, like, even a Democrat, though? I thought he said he wanted to vote for Elon Musk.
I don't know how much of a Democrat he is, but I do know that...
He's anti-Trump.
He's anti-Trump, yeah.
Sure.
I do know that.
Does feel like this is in the same way that political events lately have made for some like strange bedfellows. There's some like strange bedfellows in the sports media world right now in terms of like the Chiefs, the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, and they're like all the right wing nuts are like, go San Francisco, and that like all like Colin Cowherd is being lifted up by Swifties as a voice of reason. Did you see Colin Cowherd's video on Taylor Swift?
Yeah, your picture. This was interesting, Ryan. You think that the Chiefs are the ones that are the more liberal supported team?
I mean, they're definitely the subject of a lot of right wing hate right now.
Interesting.
Like of the Taylor. I mean, all the conspiracy theorists. I mean, that was kind of last week's picture. Of this was all the conspiracy theorists who think the whole thing with Taylor Swift and Mr. Pfizer is all to like support Biden somehow.
Oh, I have heard that. I have heard that.
And so that's kind of snowballed into like people are cheering against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Owen Benjamin had that whole rant about how the only reason Travis Kelce would be with Taylor Swift is that he's gay.
Yeah, that Taylor like, Swift is his beard.
What in what man in his right mind would want a 34-year-old woman?
Especially if you saw his ex.
Who's the ex? Who's the
her name
ex?
Is Kayla. Her name is Kayla Nicole, and she's quite the looker.
Is she a baddie?
Yeah.
I did see people talking about how they feel like Travis, like after dating her, like picked up so many black culture things that are now like all this shit about people crediting the fade haircut and calling it the Travis Kelce, which is insane.
That's killing me. That's hurting my heart. That is like, I'm mad that my doctor canceled the appointment tomorrow because I could have a heart attack at any time over this bullshit. Taylor Swift creating the swag surf, Travis Kelce creating the fade.
So does that make you mad at Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, or mad at the like dummies who write it up?
Mad at the dummies who write it up, of course.
Yeah.
I really don't have no problem with Travis Kelce. Taylor Swift, I was very much indifferent on. This year she the fact that she won that Grammy again last night was like, come on, dude. But
what did she even win a Grammy for?
Album of the year.
One was that just this year that album came out?
2023, I guess.
Where the
but honestly, she announced a new one. honestly speaking, her fans don't even really like this album. It was just, it was like, I saw a bit of a conspiracy theory that this out that this is being, this is this this album of the year thing is rewarding the tour as opposed to the album itself.
Sure,
the Swifties don't
that makes sense because the tour is such like a seems like a big cultural moment.
And the Grammys, I feel like, are never actually about the thing that was made. It's more like just cultural impact. It's like, holy shit, it's 2004 and we never gave Bob Dylan an award. How about we give him an award for whatever fucking mediocre he just cranked out? And then in 20 years, we'll give the person who should have got it this year the award for their old phoned-in bullshit.
Well, they switch it up. It's interesting they switch it up because the fact that Killer Mike won in this in the
rap
thing that he won in, like rap album of the year. That's wild because that album was not widely praised by the mainstream media.
Like, I'm a fan of his and of Run the Jewels, and I didn't even really know. I kind of missed this album.
Yeah.
Is he a good, like, I saw that he got, like, dragged out in handcuffs or some shit.
Yeah, it was a misdemeanor, like an old misdemeanor, but the LAPD being who they are, like.
Wait, really?
Yeah, they like.
I heard it was he got into, like, a little bit of a
tiff with a security guy. That's security guard. But you're saying it was an outstanding thing?
That's what I heard. Mm. So who knows what the truth is? But I heard it was an outstanding thing.
But then they posted today that his son is finally getting his kidney transplant. So it's been a real whirlwind for him.
God damn. Well, crazy 24 hours.
Nothing but the best for Killer Mike from the Foosballs podcast.
We're all fans.
Voice of Taquil on Frisky Dingo, one of my earliest faves. Love Killer Mike.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, listen, what do you got there? Diet Dr. Pepper?
No,
Dr. Pepper cream soda?
It's that's a Trader Joe's brand seltzer if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, black cherry vanilla. Pretty good.
Add that to the list. Add that to the list if I've ever seen one.
To my white people saying, shit. Oh, introducing that concept to the pod was the biggest mistake I've ever made in my life. I am going to get dragged to hell. I'm going to get dragged as all get out. I'm going to get dragged something fierce.
Ryan is on the East Coast. That's why we're Zooming today.
Yeah, I'm in Atlanta.
Is it raining there, Ryan? ATL. Raining here.
It was raining a little bit yesterday. Today, just cold. It's pretty cold today. Mm. 40s.
It's a cold time. Cold time of year.
Are people? Is there a vibe of like Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead that you're getting from people now that Arthur Smith is gone?
You know, I haven't. I went into a Dick's Sporting Goods today just to walk around, kill some time. And they had just a small little section dedicated to Falcons jerseys. I have seen no Falcons fandom to talk about.
Is it Hawks or Braves or both?
It's just Braves in Atlanta, really. Because the Hawks don't really have fans. Matter of fact, the Clippers are playing the Hawks right now. We are technically losing by 1 point. Who knows what will happen. But this is our seventh of our Grammy trip. Mm. And we have gone 5-1. So if we pull this out, we would have gone 6-1. But the Atlanta fandom is extremely fair weather. Atlanta is an interesting city. It's kind of a clout chasey city, you know what I mean? So I think
Carl just kind of casually roasting Atlanta super.
I mean, I have a good time. I have a good time when I go to Atlanta. I like Atlanta, but it is like most of their basketball fans are Laker fans.
Really?
Like they don't root for the Hawks. They'll root for the Hawks if, like, that year that they went to the Eastern Conference Finals a few years back, like 2015 or whatever, with Josh Smith. That's when they'll show up. But other than that, they don't show up.
I imagine, did they, like, pull for Dwight Howard when he was big? Because he's in Atlanta. He's from Atlanta, right?
Yeah, but he played for them later in his career. That was after the Lakers debacle, I think.
I mean, like, did they pull for the Magic when he was getting them to the finals?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I can't answer that. But what I can answer is that all my Atlanta friends that follow sports are Laker fans.
Lamar.
They'll call me and talk shit about the Clippers. And I go, bro, you've never been to L.A. Like, how are you calling me talking shit about the Clippers? But Falcons fans, I will say they do show up for the Saints game. They do show up for, you know, they show up. But the Braves are the team of Atlanta for sure.
I mean, they've been the best performing team for 35 years.
Speaking of Arthur Smith, Greg, we now know where Arthur Smith has landed. He is the new offensive coordinator for your Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's tough. The news came out not long after we recorded last week, and we recorded a little early last week. So if anyone was, I'm sure, wondering why I didn't address it on the pod last week, believe me, I would have. It was immediately... Well, I wonder if we could find the text thread with Mastriani, James, because I saw the news first and jumped into that thread with James, who's also a big Steelers fan, and was just posting like, fuck, oh no, fucking kill me. And Ryan knew what it had. Like Ryan said, he rushed to Twitter suspecting that I was posting because of Arthur Smith joining the Steelers.
It's something just like, I just, Greg, which, you know, Greg's not very like, too big of an alarmist, just wrote fuck god no fuck, and I was like, whoa, what, like it startled me for a second, and then I was like, oh no, is it? Check Twitter, and sure enough, new offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Arthur Smith. You have been probably the biggest Arthur Smith detractor of anyone. Something.
I've probably written him harder than anyone this year. I hate him. I think he sucks. I mean, the nicest thing you could say about him is like, yeah, when he was in charge in Tennessee, he sort of revitalized Tannehill a little bit, and he had a great run game going there. I might counter that by saying that I could probably orchestrate a good run game with Derrick Henry. But even aside from that, even if you buy into him as this run guru, by the end of the year in Pittsburgh, like, the run game was fine. For as much as I bag on Najee, like, he wound up having a pretty decent year. Like, they were running the ball the last, like, half of the season. Warren was mixing it in there. And they, like, the running game was not the problem. The problem is the passing game.
Man, what a shitty hire. I'm sorry.
It sucks.
With Eric Bieniemy now, just like still available, man. That was the right call. And we'll think back to like the Commanders' offense wasn't very good this year. They were like subpar, but I think they were able to elevate to subpar because they had Eric Bieniemy being like super detail oriented and getting the most out of a really, really shitty personnel group. So it's insane to me that he doesn't have a job, and I thought he would have been so fucking good for you guys.
I've been saying that for years.
With the talent that you have at wide receiver, I think if you wanted to stick with Pickett, he could probably help elevate, get the most out of Pickett. Or if you brought in someone to compete, or if you guys brought in like Kirk Cousins or something, like he's just felt like the right choice for you guys. And he seems like a Tomlin kind of guy, too.
I know. Believe me, the 1-2 punch of hiring Arthur Smith and starting to see mock drafts where we're taking Penix in the first round, and I like Penix, but like it just feels like we just turned the clock back 2 years and we're just going to repeat the last 2 years over again, because like drafting in the early 20s, drafting a already 24-year-old quarterback who you're a little bit on, it just feels... it feels like a repeat. It's rough. Someone posted that quick clip of Leonardo DiCaprio in The Departed when he's like, why don't you just give me a bottle of pills and a fucking handgun to blow my brains? Like, someone posted that in response to the news, and I was like, yeah, that is kind of how I feel.
Ryan, do you have pulled up our preseason predictions? Did we get any right?
That is a great question. Yeah, we got quite a few.
We could talk about that. We could also...
I got it right here.
Discuss maybe what... We could have a logistical conversation. Maybe the fans would want to hear us say, here's what we could do in the offseason. Because it's coming up quick. And we owe HeadGum episodes.
Let's do our combine. That.
We got the foosballs combine, the foosballs flag football game. I think we should watch some classic football movies. Maybe listeners can email in their favorite football movies. And don't send us like Rudy or Remember the Titans or the really popular ones. If you've got a more obscure one like Backfield in Motion with Tom Arnold and Roseanne, let us know.
We will be watching Necessary Roughness.
Of course. What's that one that's Blue Chips but with football? The Program?
Like, you know, I've never seen that. So
I
want
to watch that. Yeah. Oh, Last Boy Scout, just reviewing the opening scene.
It's also so funny that we're talking, and this is the week of the Super Bowl. We're like, God, what the fuck do we even talk about?
But I mean, we could get the Super Bowl predictions at the end of the episode.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so our predictions at the start of the season. So working backwards, Greg and I had the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. Carl, you had the Saints. James Mastriani also does this exercise. He did have the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, so he is he's still got that up in the air. Greg, you had the Bengals making it. I also had the Bengals, so we had the same Super Bowl matchup, and you had the Chargers, Carl. For awards, all three of us picked Jalen Hurts to win MVP. Greg, you're looking very, very good for Offense Player of the Year. You picked Christian McCaffrey. I picked Ja'Marr Chase, and Carl picked Chris Olave.
What an alternate universe Carl's picks are in.
You know what? To be fair, I don't take these awards seriously. I don't know. I think I know more about Saints basketball in this arena than I do football, like with the awards and stuff like that.
Saints and Chargers, Olave offense. In Carl's universe, Jim Harbaugh's going back to the Niners to coach them because they went 6-11 while the Chargers steamrolled to the Super Bowl.
Oh, you mean a perfect world?
Yeah, in a perfect world.
Greg, you also look like you probably might just get Defense Player of the Year. You picked TJ Watt. I had Micah Parsons. And Carl, you had Quinnen Williams. Carl.
That one I stand up for.
Yeah,
I thought he was going to do some shit this year.
Felt like there was a breakout year about to happen. You guys both picked Zay Flowers for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I picked Bijan Robinson. That looks like that'll go to C.J. Stroud. Defensive Rookie of the Year, we all picked Jalen Carter. I don't know what I think he's definitely still in the running for it, but I know his numbers really trailed off towards the end of the year. I wonder if that maybe goes to Will Anderson or...
Just like how bad and exposed the Philly defense got over the last few weeks. It feels like it's not even about his individual stats.
Yeah.
Who else would be in the mix for that?
For Defensive Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, I guess just Anderson, right?
Will Anderson, I think maybe one of the Rams guys. I feel like there's also somebody.
Could have been Christian Gonzalez. If Gonzalez stayed healthy, he would have probably been in the mix.
We know who the finalists are. They announce it now like it's the Oscars. The defensive rookie of the year finalists are Texans defensive end, Will Anderson. Eagles defensive tackle, Jalen Carter. Steelers cornerback, Joey Porter Jr. And Rams nose tackle, Kobe Turner.
Oh, also, rookie. Yeah, he's good. He looks like iffy.
This is Kobe Turner's second nomination.
And Devin Witherspoon, Seattle Seahawks cornerback.
Witherspoon was previously nominated for his work in Gosford Park in 2001. A movie that came out before he was born, probably.
For Comeback Player of the Year, you guys both had Lamar Jackson. I had Damar Hamlin. I think I might get that one if they don't give it to Flacco, but I think you got to give it to Damar Hamlin.
They're not
going
to give it to Lamar because they're giving him MVP. So
yeah. Coach of the Year, you both had Dennis Allen. Woof. I did. Woof.
There's no. Now, that's one that I wouldn't even joked about picking. Oh, man, that's funny. I did get to meet him this year. He is my friend now.
That he's no coach of the year?
No, he's my friend. He's coach of my heart.
I had my DeMeco Ryans, Mike Tomlin, co-coach of the year.
And, man.
D'Amico.
D'Amico. I wouldn't hate that if it came true. I think that'd be fair. I mean, it'll probably be Ryan's, right? But, like...
He should win it. It'll probably be fucking Andy Reid since they started off slow and have made it this far.
I feel like coaches of teams that are already contenders going in never get it. You'd have to go like undefeated.
Oh, okay.
Here are the nominees for AP Coach of the Year. Kevin Stefanski, Cleveland Browns. Kyle Shanahan, San Francisco 49ers. D'Amico Ryans, Houston Texans. John Harbaugh, Baltimore Ravens. And Dan Campbell, Detroit Lions.
Okay. Wait, Tomlin didn't get a nomination? That's crazy.
This is Dan Campbell's second nomination. No, Tomlin.
Tomlin is that guy from Riverdale this year. The guy from May, December who didn't get a nom. He's that guy. Charles Melton. I'm going to act like I don't know his name. It's Charles Melton.
Mike Tomlin is Greta Garbo. Wait, what's her name?
Greta Gerwig?
Greta Gerwig.
Mike Tomlin is 100-year-old. Greta Oh, fuck. Someone at Mattel, like, fuck, we just gave Greta Garbo $10 million to make a Barbie movie, and she can't even go to the bathroom by herself. Yeah, Mike, but you're right, though. Mike Tomlin is Greta Gerwig. He's not Greta nominated Gerwig. Because of toxic masculinity. That's the only reason he's not nominated.
It's definitely been an issue at the end of the year awards ceremony for the NFL. There's never been a woman nominated for Coach of the Year.
Remember, what's it called? I had that one coach. San Francisco had a lady coach, and she was in the Microsoft Surface commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I don't remember that. I mean, I know Becky Hammon.
Of course you don't, Greg.
Oh, I'm getting dragged. Something fierce.
Yeah.
I heard Leo might coach the Vikings, so maybe he'd be the first one to win.
Oh, of course. Someone who was born a billionaire.
Oh, man.
For Walter Payton, Man of the Year, I'm still alive here. I have Cam Hayward was my choice. And
hey, I hope he gets it.
He's been doing a late season push. He's been donating all types of money to social programs and things like that, really trying to get that award.
He wants it so fucking bad.
He wants it so bad.
Let him chase it. Is there worse things to do than chase Man of the Year?
Carl and I both correctly picked who would have the first pick in the 2024 draft. Carl and I both had the Bears via the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, so you specified via the Panthers in your picks? Yep. Man, I thought the Cardinals were going to lose 17 games.
I did think that, too. I think we both had the Cardinals down at 1-17. But did we pick – what did we say for Carolina? Did we give them – I think I gave them 3 wins. And that's how much they finished with, right?
They might have gone 2-15. Like, yeah, 2 or 3.
14. Here's the thing about the Cardinals. It might have worked out for them because it looks – we can get in. I'm sure going to do plenty of content about the draft. But it looks like right now, it looks like Williams, May, Daniels, 1, 2, 3. And then the Cardinals get to just sit there and take the best wideout prospect in –
Marvin
a
Harrison.
Long fucking time. I mean, is he the best wideout prospect since Calvin Johnson?
Yeah.
Damn.
Like,
for sure.
And they get to just add him. They're probably
any other year,
losing
he'd be the
Hollywood
first pick
Brown.
Of the draft.
Yeah. Although, has a wideout been the first pick? Oh, Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn Johnson.
If you'd like to watch the video recording of this episode and check out some bonus shows with the guys, go to patreon.com/theflagrantones.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Let me say this about Caleb Williams. Apparently, people are coming down on Caleb.
Why is that?
A lot of people not sold on old Caleb. I think he's going to be a fucking beast.
Yeah.
But I also picked Dennis Allen as coach of the year. So what do I know?
What's the knock on him?
They're just saying he's not a playmaker.
What?
They showed a couple clips of him. Like they say he doesn't read defense as well, and they're saying he doesn't make the right read. They showed one clip of him where he did have like an open slot receiver, like right in the like the linebacker went to the flats and the slot receiver was wide open to get them a first down, and he chose to scramble as opposed to throwing it right in that gap. And I was like, yeah, that's bad read right there, but every quarterback does that.
Yeah.
That feels like an invention a little bit just to kill some time.
I feel like playmaking is like the number one thing you would have. That's feel like being like, I get it. I doubted Greg Oden, but I wasn't sitting there saying the motherfucker's short. It's the craziest criticism to go with.
I think he's going to be good as hell.
I like the top, all top three quarterbacks in that draft.
I wonder if the really Steelers good. Could get Justin Fields.
I think you could.
That would interest me.
It'll be interesting to see.
Take Pickett for him. I think Kenny Pickett is a perfect backup quarterback.
We had a fan message me on Twitter saying, why aren't you guys talking about the Bears and what they're going to do with Justin Fields in the first pick in the draft? And this was like,
we have 5 months to talk about.
Yeah, and it's like, playoff weekend. What the fuck? Why would we be talking about the Bears, their draft decisions in April? But now that it's the Super Bowl. What I think the Bears could do. I like Justin Fields. It feels like it's too on the nose point for him to go to Atlanta because everyone's saying he'll go there. I want to know who the kind of crazy like wild cards are. Like, what's the surprise team?
I don't know, but I think it's funny that you say that everybody says he's going to Atlanta. They do that with every scrambling quarterback. They go, man, that dude killing Atlanta.
I feel like I'm having some sort of sense memory.
You know who I think could trade for Lamar?
Guy run real fast in a Falcons jersey. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
Like. It's just like in the NBA how they never compare white players to black players. Like, not seriously, of course. Like they always be like, oh, this Austin Reeves guy reminds me of Dead Left Shrimp. That's just right off the top of my head, but like
Austin Reeves, he really reminds me of Duncan Robinson, Max Strus, Tyler Hero, Luke Kennard, JJ Redick, sort of, you know, like
I get vibes.
Jeff Hornacek type.
Yeah. But like black quarterbacks are always like, dude, this guy needs out of this program. He's too good for this place. And I think he ends up in Atlanta.
He needs to go play for Arthur Smith, who, as we all know, had great success with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lamar stuff last year is so crazy. It's like, oh, who could trade for him? Well, I mean, he makes sense in Atlanta. Could you say more?
I just think that's a good place for him to be.
Yeah. I think he'd just look good in the uniform. I don't know.
Another person's like, be that as it may. I feel like you guys now. I do agree with you there. Even I fall for it. Even I definitely want to see. Like, I definitely want to see Lamar in a Falcons jersey.
It would be fucking cool.
Yeah,
they're not wrong. Yeah. They're not wrong.
Yeah, some people just fit. Like Lamar is definitely a guy who fits in Atlanta, and I would like to see Justin Fields there as well.
Well, that's the thing, though. Imagine if you're a white shooting guard or power forward, everyone wants you to go to Duke, I bet. You know, yeah. Like it just feels right. Yeah.
Go to Duke and get drafted by the Celtics.
And Georgetown had Mac McClung for a minute and everyone was like, this feels wrong.
Yeah.
He left and he went to Texas Tech, which is the funniest place to go.
Yeah. Mac McClung.
I'm going to predict that Justin Fields goes to New England. That's my
really?
Pick.
I see. I think they're taking Jaden Daniels.
I think that I bet that I could see them wanting to trade like a second or like a like 2/3 or something like that, and then have and pair Justin Fields up with Marvin Harrison Jr.
Ooh. So they would take Marvin Harrison Jr. first overall.
And so Caleb, I think if the so the Patriots so yeah would, the you say the Bears trade Justin Fields to the Patriots.
They wouldn't trade the pick, send, though?
I think Fields is like a second-round pick. So you give maybe your second-round pick, which would be pretty high, definitely in the like 35 or whatever. Yeah. And then, yeah, you take either Marvin Harrison or you go – I don't even know if they really need a left tackle right now, but, yeah, go Marvin Harrison Jr., and then you've got yourself a whole new offense.
That's sick.
Why am I blanking on the guy that they just hired as coach? It's a good
Drop Mayo.
Yeah, that's a great high. It feels like all the middle linebackers of that era are like, I feel like I always associated him and D'Amico Ryans together. Like,
is it like because he's been on the staff? Sometimes it's a little bit weird because they've been bad the past couple of years. And it feels like the reason you moved on from Belichick is because you needed a refresh, a recharge. So is it kind of weird to elevate a guy who's already on the staff?
I didn't know he was on the staff. I knew he had played for him, but I didn't know he was on the staff already.
He was the linebackers coach. And
oh, shit.
I guess the deal was it was in his contract that he would be the next head coach when Belichick moved on. So I guess you do what you got to do. But it feels like I don't know. I would want let's move on from kind of the Patriot way and start something new here.
But maybe it's a nice middle ground because they can turn over a new leaf. I don't know what the fuck. Turn the page. But he's much younger. He's I'm sure much more liked by the players.
Yeah, you're going from like a 71-year-old to like a 36-year-old. So it's gonna be very different.
I feel like middle linebackers make good coaches.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Brian Cushing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, put Brian Cushing in charge of your team, man.
I want Brian Cushing on that Detroit Lions staff. Having him and Dan Campbell just fucking rails of coke everywhere.
Yeah. Why are you guys' heads always bleeding?
That is the first thing I think of when I think of him. You know who'd be a good head coach? Vontaze Burfict.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, I guess I just thinking of D'Amico Ryans, Mike Vrabel. It feels like that's become an archetype of good coach lately. Although Vrabel got fired, but
no job. No job for Vrabel, no job for Belichick. Is Belichick done, you guys think? Is he gonna be more hireable next year?
Do you think he'll just die
in Atlanta?
Is he gonna play in Atlanta? Belichick becomes the first quarterback to rush for over 1,500 yards in a season. Turns out there's something about that old jersey. It's like Frosty the Snowman's hat. Whoever you put it on, if he wears number 7 and just rushes his ass off. I mean, I wonder if Belichick is just going to be like Joe Paterno or like those old people whose spouses die and then they just die like they die a week later, like they have nothing to live. His body just has nothing to live for. Like
it's too custom.
After the Brazil game, after the first game of the season, he just drops dead. His body like just quits.
He died of a broken heart.
That's what happened to Vince Lombardi, right? Didn't he die like a couple years after he retired? He died pretty early on. Did you know that Vince Lombardi died in like 1971?
Damn. He didn't even get to see the Dolphins go undefeated?
Yeah, you're right. He died in 1970.
1970, yeah.
Wow.
At the age of 57.
Yeah.
He was 57?
That dude was way too stressed out. That man was way too stressed out. He let that game that was paying people $4,000 a week stress him out like that.
Cheer foosballs? The guys were just having a cracking up at how young Vince Lombardi died.
It always makes me think of that the Simpsons joke. It's like one of the Simpsons Super Bowl episodes where it's like Moe's like, bye week. Bronco Nagurski didn't get no bye week. And now he's dead. So maybe it's a good thing. It's just like being a football player back then seemed even worse for you than it is now. I mean, I guess the guys hitting you aren't as strong, but like your helmet is like a fucking, is just like four belts tied together.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, those 1970s helmets, like they were better, but they were still like, what? Not fiberglass, but like just like a layer of plastic. Like, did y'all have fake helmets when you were kids?
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
I feel like that's what the helmet was.
Yeah.
No protection. Somehow barely. No padding.
Speaking of helmets, made out of asbestos.
Speaking of helmets, Julia's dad gave me a Drew Brees autographed helmet.
Holy shit!
Yeah, I gotta go get it from Julia. We have to do lunch or something like that to pick it up. But
big shout out, big Mr. Meltzer.
Yeah, shout out Mr. Meltzer, man. And also, everybody,
what a great gift.
Take a writing class. Take Julia Meltzer's writing class at UCB.
Absolutely, yeah. Great pilots. She's been cranking out.
If you want to write a pilot, if you want to, everybody who listens to this, listen. I know you're all comedy nerd and podcast nerds, and you talk so much shit about us. But if you think you can do it, then take the fucking class.
Nothing's stopping you.
You're sitting on the couch. Your life's passing
pounding
you
your PUDs.
You're pounding your PUDs. You're on Reddit all day talking about how we didn't do this and how Chief Keef ain't this and Chief Keef ain't that. Well, how about this? How about you get out here and take Julia's class? You could take it on Zoom.
And
you zeros.
Julia also had a cousin who won a Super Bowl, so it ties in.
Wait, what?
What's my man's name? He played for
Brock
the Seahawks.
Brock Croyle.
Oh, yeah.
Coyle? No, I'm confusing it with Brody Croyle. It's Brock Coyle.
Coyle, yeah.
Who was a linebacker for the Seahawks, won a Super Bowl.
Out of Montana.
Yep. Of the Montana Coyles.
Of the Montana Coyles.
Which sounds like a plot line in Yellowstone.
I can't wait to... What's special about this helmet is, despite it being signed by Drew Brees, is that I had a Saints uniform when I was a kid. And so this is like the adult version of that. And you better believe I'm going to be in this house with that damn helmet on. I'm going to figure out a way to put my VR on with the helmet for when I play NFL.
Feels really easy, actually. They're going to start making helmets where the face mask is designed to fit the Apple products.
Yeah. The VR NFL Pro Era game is really fun.
It's fun? Yeah. I got to try it. It's really looks fun.
What's it for? Like, it looks, it's on the Oculus.
Oh, okay. Shit, I'm going to have to get that.
It doesn't look, like, perfect.
Yeah.
But it looks, like, yeah, the guy's shoulder pads are a little bit square, and they're like, but it definitely really lets you, like, drop back and throw passes. It's really cool.
All right. I'm a moron, but how much real-life space do you need to play that game?
I mean, I play right here in my tiny little living room.
Are you bumping into shit? I saw a lady put her face through a microwave on Twitter the other day.
That can happen. Okay. I'm a little bit further away from my microwave. I'm not, because you really don't need to drop back. You can use the stick to drop back. You can stand in one place and just kind
of
toss it. But I definitely, I can't. Here's what I can't play. I got baseball, like the game where you pitch. It's not a game. It's like a actual like practice device. I bought that for the VR and for when I play baseball this season. And that is not, I'm not able to swing my bat in my house.
Yeah, I guess those are people going outside and doing that.
Yeah, right? I would have to take that. Or if I had like a garage, which I do technically, but it's a shared garage. So I think people would come out and be like, the fuck is he doing?
Yeah.
If I'm just like in the garage, like with a bat, just like swinging it.
Wearing the goggles.
I think that guy from the fourth floor is trying to do a The Rookie. He's trying to get back into baseball in his 30s.
Hey, man, I can hit the ball pretty far. I can't do much else. I learned that I suck at defense. In the outfield, I am not very good. My arm is not very strong. I can throw a football pretty damn far.
You're a 6'3" lefty. Why are you not playing first base?
I never played first base when I was younger. So really? I was always in the outfield.
I every left-handed kid, especially if they were tall, that I grew up with, they put you at. Yeah.
I played first base this season. It was my first time playing it, so I was just kind of like, you know, getting used to it, stretching out and stuff. And I did pretty good. Jaquise, the manager of the team, was definitely like, you're going to play first base every time. And I was a little bit nervous about it because I was just like, I've never played this position, so I don't know the ins and outs of it. Like, but I actually did pretty good. I took to it pretty naturally. So if I can parlay that into a nice minor league contract, you'll see me playing for the San Antonio Missions at 36 years old. It's just everybody on the team fucking hating me for taking a spot from a person.
Real prospect.
And me walking into the locker room every day. Kid. Being like, Coach, I can't practice tomorrow. I got to tape an audition.
Yeah. Starting lineup for the Missions this year is Tim Tebow, Carl Tart, Billy Crystal, Kyler Murray, Drew Henson. I don't know, Sudeikis? Who cares?
Yeah, all Sudeikis. Right.
Should we make some Super Bowl bets?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Should it's we
time.
Do some...
It's time to talk about the Super Bowl.
Prop car locks?
I don't know. I don't know how to pull those up. If you can find some, I'll definitely put some.
I'm on it. Super Bowl prop bets. That's going to be all about Taylor Swift, I realize now. Well, let's start with just the game, huh? What's the line at right now?
Trying to pull it up.
Great radio. Carl, sing something. Vamp for us.
Okay. Friday. Wait, damn. Now I don't know no songs. I know songs all the time. But I'm just waiting on this Clipper game to end here.
All right, I got it. I got it. Niners -2, over under 47.5. So
really? Niners -2? I thought they gave them 4 points. That's the last line I heard was that they had given them 4.
You mean Niners +4?
Not Niners -4.
Oh, okay.
Which I definitely, like, if I wasn't taking the Chiefs before that, make no mistake, I am taking the Chiefs.
Okay.
Chiefs +2.
Chiefs +2. Now, are you disclosing to the audience, is that as much because you believe it or because you are trying to jinx the Chiefs by betting on them?
Unfortunately, I believe it.
You believe it. Chiefs +2. That's your first car lock for the Super Bowl.
I have really had a hard time this week trying to figure out what I was going to do, betting, like rooting wise. And
same.
I can't, like... I'm like, damn, like, who could, like, I just don't feel like I can root for the 49ers. Like, the 49ers are like the Cowboys for me.
I feel you. All right, so if someone, it's good. You really wanted to. Ryan really wanted to pull for them. If someone wanted to bet the over-under, Carl, of 47.5, do you have a take on that?
Over-under 47.5.
What's the 24-24. Goes over.
So 27-24 is over.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go over 47.5.
I like it. Fun Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What are some other props here? All right. What about? Okay. Let's look at Super Bowl MVP.
I mean, they're gonna give that to fucking Patrick Mahomes. I don't see anybody else making that much noise on either team.
So it's Mahomes is +135. Brock Purdy is +200. I mean, McCaffrey +450 feels like a decent thing to put a little money
in. Yeah, no, yeah. Take that.
That's
he
a little.
Go off. How is Chiefs run defense?
Not their
strong suit.
No, I mean, they're definitely way better against the pass, but I mean, they're all right against the run.
Let me give you.
They got gashed pretty good. Buffalo in the divisional round, James Cook was having a good game against them.
Right. Let me give you a couple other options, Carl. McCaffrey +450. Kelsey +1,700. So you bet $1 on Kelsey, you can get $170, right? No, $17. You bet $10, you get $170. or Pacheco +3,500. Ayuk +4,500, Kittle +7,000, Nick Bosa +10,000. I feel like McCaffrey is still the play there, right?
McCaffrey is the play for sure.
All right, that's a fun one. You see any other ones, Ryan?
You know, I'm having a hard time pulling them up. My internet is not the fastest, but I'm in a stick that might have
legal gambling.
Yeah, so I can probably maybe just pull it up on my phone.
Let's look at some entertainment props, huh?
Yeah, I want to know Star Spangled Banner time.
All right, here's some coin. All right, national anthem is by Reba McEntire.
89.5 seconds.
I'm seeing 90 and a half. Yeah, so a minute and a half. Do you think it's over or under a minute and a half?
Under. We Reba?
Let's sing right now together.
Okay.
Obviously, we'll be singing as Reba, too. You got to really get into the character, okay? Oh, say,
can you see,
y'all? Can you see?
I'm asking y'all. Can you see?
Hey. If she does that, she rigged it. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light? I think she definitely,
truly,
she's going to go, and the rocket's red glare. No, she's not going to hit that.
And the moon first in air.
It's going to be quick. It's going to be quick. I'm giving her under on that one.
Under.
I'm giving her under. If they had said Jennifer Hudson, I would have said over times two.
Yeah. I mean, what's to stop Reba McEntire from, like, telling her nephew's fucking friend, go to Vegas and put it all on under or put it all on over, you know? Like, what's...
Yeah.
These things even tougher to bet on. Whatever. I don't need to get into it. How about this? First song of the Usher halftime show, Carl. Usher's first song. Yeah is plus 200.
No. You're not opening with Yeah.
My Way is plus 340.
That's OMG hilarious.
Plus 430. DJ Got Us Falling in Love plus 500. Love in the Club plus 650. Nice and Slow. You don't start with Nice and Slow plus 650.
You don't sing that at all at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, truly. You don't have to call plus 1800. Let's do that.
I'm going to say, so we back in this club and nobody's rocking from side to side. That's a baby tonight. DJ got us falling in love again.
All right, that's plus 500.
I'm going to take that. I'm going to take that because that's one of his biggest hits, like biggest like pop crossover hits. And I think he's going to fill the middle with the songs for the brothers and sisters. You know what I'm saying? For all the Atlanta fans in the house.
For all
the Atlanta
QBs
quarterbacks.
For all the Bill Belichick Atlanta quarterbacks.
That's like going to be the new racist coded thing that, like, you know, it's just this town's getting taken over by scrambling quarterbacks, if you know what I'm saying.
So typically an Usher show does open with My Way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is halftime.
I feel like it's a little slow for the halftime show. Like
yeah.
if I'm at his show at the arena, then yeah, because most of the people in there are his big fans. I think with these two teams playing the Super Bowl, it's not going to be a room full of Usher fans. They should be, but they won't be.
Okay, so we've done MVP, line over under, anthem, halftime show. Let's see, what is cross? Okay, game props. Let's find a good one here. This is great radio.
I'll sing a song. Friday, oh say, can you see?
By the dawn's early light. Fuck it. Let's just do the coin toss. Both of them are minus 105. What are you thinking, Carl? Get some bread for our listeners.
Take the San Francisco 49ers to win the coin toss and receive the ball.
Wow.
So, okay. Well,
not even doing heads or tails.
Not even doing heads or tails. So 49ers win.
And not deferring. Interesting.
They want to get out there and score quick.
Motherfuckers, they would. Okay, all right. Now I'm fired up.
I'm not seeing the props for whether they defer or not. So you're saying the Niners are going to win, but if you tell me Niners win and heads or Niners win and tails, we can do that as a parlay.
Niners win and tails.
Ooh.
Because as you know, it never fails.
All right. Coin toss, tails, and 49ers. That's plus 255. That's fun.
That is fun.
All right. Weirdly, Chiefs winning in tails is plus 290. That must be based on how often each team calls heads or tails. Like if a team always calls tails, the odds to them to win on heads.
The 49ers, weird shit in Vegas. I believe, are technically the visiting team. The NFC is the visiting team this year. So they will get to make the call.
This is an interesting fact. Last year, all right. So last year, the Chiefs won the coin toss and won the Super Bowl. Do either of you want to take a stab at the last time a team won the coin toss and the game?
Let me think. I remember everyone who's won the coin toss. I just don't remember who's won the games.
The Chiefs last year.
Well, before them. They snapped a streak of the winning coin toss team loser. I'll just tell you.
Let me guess. I'm just going to toss one out there. Let's go Seahawks Broncos.
It was the Seahawks.
Really?
Yeah.
That's tight. My God. That was just a fucking stab in the dark.
It was eight straight teams that had won the toss, lost the game. All right. Well, here, I got one more for you, Carl. For people to come on stage during the halftime show with a mic in hand. They can't just be like dancing, got to have a mic in hand. I don't know. I assume that discounts someone wearing a headset mic too. There's a bunch of options, but I'll read you some of the favorites: Alicia Keys, Ludacris, Lil Jon, Will.i.am. And then the people over, I'm going to read you the ones that are plus 1,000 or more. So these are long shots. And if you think any of these are worth taking at long shot odds to show up in the halftime show: 50 Cent plus 1,000, DJ Khaled plus 1,000, Jay-Z plus 1,100, Beyonce plus 1,400, Miley Cyrus plus 1,800, Madonna plus 2,300. Now, Miley Cyrus on a bit of a press tour right now. I don't know.
That one is the only one that, caught my ear.
Why would she don't have no songs with Usher?
But I don't know. That doesn't necessarily stop it.
Is Ludacris on there?
Ludacris, but he's minus 210, so they're pretty sure he's definitely coming.
Take that and rewind it back.
Yeah. What about, all right, so here are some of the more middle, Will.i.am, Nicki Minaj, Diddy, Pitbull, Bieber, Taylor Swift, Lil Wayne, 21 Savage, David Guetta. Any one of those jump out at you?
21 Savage.
All right, that's still good. That's plus 750. Okay. All right,
I don't know if David Guetta would have a mic, but that would be a good one too.
Yeah. All right, so 21 halftime guest, 21 Savage, tough. Plus 750. I know, yeah. But if you hit that, you're taking some plus 450, plus 750. This is real bread out there. If you parlay 21 Savage with the Niners, tails, and McCaffrey MVP and DJ guys falling in love, you're making like plus a million on this shit.
Yeah, interesting.
All right. The next time we see you guys, we will know who the champions are. Ryan, final thoughts. How are you feeling?
Well, I've told you guys this, that I don't know if I'll be able to actually watch the game.
What's a crueler fate? Me getting Arthur Smith after this season, or you doing this all year, your team makes the Super Bowl and you can't watch?
By far, not being able to watch the Super Bowl. Well, there's a long, that might be a long-suffering fate with Arthur Smith. I'm hoping I can. I don't know yet. It's honestly, it's made it all feel very weird and distant. I'm not like as fully invested, but I'm gonna be freaking out that day. I don't know what to expect. I think it could go either way. I think I could see like the 49ers being like ultra weirdly just focused and on top of it, and the Chiefs coming out a little flat. I think the Chiefs' best option on defense is they got to attack the middle of that offensive line. That's where the 49ers have had their most trouble. But I don't know. I'm nervous.
I mean, I think my final thought on it is that I think that the Chiefs, the thing that you might worry about them falling into is, like, we already got a couple, while the Niners are, like, not the Niners franchise, but this group of Niners players is more hungry and everything. But yeah. I feel like the Chiefs have done a good job of doing that thing that is annoying from the outside, but probably essential, of being like, man, it's us versus the world. And, like, they're still hungry because it's like Kelsey wants to go out, or Mahomes is convinced everyone hates. Like, it's the same thing Michigan did against Washington this year, frankly. Like, Michigan is more of a blue-blooded program than Washington, but they convinced themselves. They literally, it's like Michigan versus the world t-shirts became their thing. Like, everyone's mad at us for cheating. And, like, you got to keep that.
Yeah.
I feel like the Chiefs have done a job.
The last,
like, I don't see them coming out soft because of that.
Sure. Yeah, the last Patriots Super Bowl, Brady famously, after the AFC Championship game, he was like, yeah, everyone thinks we suck now, but hey, look, we're here. We made it to the Super Bowl. It's like, no one said you suck, dude. Fuck off.
Well, that's what y'all doing.
I know. I'm saying it's annoying, but you probably need to do it in order to win. So,
is anyone saying the Chiefs suck? I don't think anyone's saying the Chiefs suck.
As Patrick Mahomes said it. We fuck it. We're the underdogs.
They have been underdogs, basketball.
Shut up.
They are underdogs, literally. In
yeah, but if you're going just by the line.
Like, they asked for that. They asked for that.
All right. Well, Ryan, I have a recent story of trying to follow a team's big playoff game while I was stuck on set, and it went so terribly that I won't even tell you about it to get in your head. But,
like the way the game went or your efforts to watch?
The way the game went.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to hear it.
I'll tell you next week, depending on how it goes for you. If you're trying to follow along on set, we can talk about that experience.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, well,
I tell you.
Go out, make some bets, people, have some wings and some drinks. Have wings.
Carl's promised to keep me posted on what's going on in the game. I have no idea what my game plan is. I'll know.
Carl's got a Photoshop of Brock Purdy in a dashiki ready to go.
Yeah. yeah, I don't know what my plan is, if I'm going to try to, like, watch it later and avoid spoilers for the Super Bowl, which feels fucking impossible. I'm going to just try to watch as quietly on my phone as possible, I guess. Fucking sad. All right.
Enjoy, everyone. This is what it's all been for.
Later, guys.
Later, guys.
Bye, guys.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.